Listen to God's word from the 6th chapter of Matthew. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dave. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious and loving God, be with us now as we consider this word and its challenges. Help us to hear in it not only a story and a direction for an ancient people, but help it to come to life for us, that we might find meaning in it for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue a series where we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5 through chapter 7. So if you haven't had a chance to read it, I invite you to do so. It doesn't take that long. You can get it in before any football game today. And in the chapter, we're asking the question as we go along, what might this have to say, not only to the people of Jesus' time, but what might it say to us, and how might it shape our lives? And so today, we come to a difficult scripture, talking about treasures in heaven and treasures on earth, talking about not being divided, serving two masters, money and God. This is difficult stuff. And I read a commentary that basically said, whoa, this is going to be hard for you to preach. People work hard. You work hard Monday through Friday and to make the money for your family and for yourself so that we can be comfortable and live a good life. And then Saturday, we go out and we buy things that we need and things that we want with the money that we've made. And then Sunday, you come to church and the preacher says it's all in vain. You know, this is not really good news. And so what's here that's applicable? What's here that can make a difference? And I really think there is. And where I'm going to anchor this is not particular in the scripture that we have, although I'll talk about it, I want to go back and just remind you Jesus' opening words in this these sayings from the Sermon on the Mount. And they begin with what we traditionally call the Beatitudes. It's at the beginning of chapter 5. And it's the place where Jesus talks about the qualities of a life lived in the reign of God. He sets the stage by saying, these are the things that we value in the reign of God. These are the characteristics that we're going to see in people who are devoted to this kind of living. You might remember these. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, all who are weak. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be in right relationship with God. Blessed are those who are merciful, who are pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. These are qualities that Jesus speaks about, and through the rest of the sermon, he offers ways, suggestions, and even spiritual practices that we can use and a way to practice them so that we might live out those qualities. And so we come to Matthew 6 and look at how this might connect. And to begin, I want to share a story with you. You may have seen this on the news. The story that's here began on September 11th, and it happened in Rogers Park, which is a very north section or neighborhood of Chicago, way up on the north side, and there was a woman Her name was Michelle Cintron, and she looked out her kitchen window, and this is actually the view from her kitchen window, and she watched on Thursday morning of September 11th as a man was evicted from his apartment. They carried all of his belongings, his mattress, his TV, his bureau, all of his clothing, and they piled it against the fence in this alley. And he sat down, and this is the man. His name is Jermel DeShazer. Jermel sat down in a chair facing his belongings, huddled in his coat, and she watched him all day. She watched him into the evening. She took this picture along the way to share with her husband and asked what she should do. She decided she would go down and talk to the man, so she went down, and they called him Jay. She went down and talked with Jay DeShazer, and he said, "Someone's coming. Don't worry about it. Someone's coming to get me." And so she left him. In the middle of the night, because he was still there when it grew dark, in the middle of the night she got up, it was raining, he was still sitting in the same place, huddled. So in the morning she went back and she asked, this is Friday morning, is someone coming to get you? What can we do? And he just kept saying, someone's coming, someone's coming. So she went back upstairs and she put something out on a neighborhood connection, a social media for neighborhoods, for blocks. And about 100 people responded asking what they could do. And pretty soon from her window, she saw people going to talk with him and offering him food. He was there another night and there on Saturday. Finally, a group of neighbors got together and they found one neighbor who had a garage. And they went to the man. He didn't want to leave where he was because he was afraid that all of his possessions would be thrown away or stolen. So they got someone to take all of his stuff and put it in a garage. And then Michelle and her husband, they took him first to a clinic. They found out after talking with him that he had a kidney transplant. He lived with his mom until 2 years ago. His mother died. He had had a job that helped him to survive. He'd lost the job and didn't know what to do, and therefore had lost his place to live. They found him shelter for the night. They took him back to a hospital. He was admitted and gotten stabilized because he didn't have his drugs. And then Michelle went online again and did one of those microfunding things and got enough money to get him temporary housing in the neighborhood. And the neighbors are now working, especially with social services, to make sure that his life is stabilized. He was in a news program, DeShazer was, and they asked him how he felt, and he's a simple guy, and this is what he said. He said, "I appreciate it. It's amazing." And I asked myself, what is amazing here? And I go to the values of these neighbors, especially Michelle, who could not stand to watch this man outside her window. Are the values here? I want my neighborhood to be cleaned up. I want to just have my safe place, and I want to live in comfort, and I want to know all is well? Or is there something else going on here? Values that very much reflect this kingdom that Jesus describes, valuing humility and compassion and mercy, and perhaps even hungering and thirsting for righteousness, right relationship with neighbor and right relationship with God. I really think that when Jesus talked with all of those people, his disciples and others who had gathered for this sermon, he was challenging them into a new way of life. Oh yes, a challenging life, but a new way of living, a new perspective with new values and a new look on how we treat one another and how we interact in this world. And so he begins, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, I know what that sounds like. It sounds like some kind of prudent investment advice. It's as if, all right, so what you're going to do is you can invest here, not so good, it will fail, 2008, bad news. But if you invest over here, you'll get good returns, everything's going to be good. So make your investments here. But it's an odd kind of investment because it's more like a layaway plan. You're not going to get anything. Just keep giving your money, and then eventually you're going to get something. It's like paying a mortgage but not being able to move in until the mortgage is paid. And so good acts, if we read that, almost look like good acts are like a down payment, or we're getting tokens that we get to cash in heaven. So you just kind of fill your pocket with the good deed tokens, and that's what you get. But if we understand it that way, then we're looking at this heaven and earth thing kind of in a dualistic way, that there's heaven and there's earth. There's good and there's bad. There's a place that you put your treasures, your what you value, and there's a place where you don't. But by the very presence of Jesus Christ, the truth is that it's more complicated than some kind of dualistic definition, because Christ is God in the flesh incarnate. God's here. And if God, and by the very presence of Jesus, we know that God does not dismiss the earth, does not dismiss us living and breathing people right now. It's not so much that one is good and one is bad, but what actually happens in Christ is that heaven and earth intersect and join. It's as if Chronos, chronological time, our time, the way we live, intersects with Kairos, the presence of God that is timeless. And so when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, what Jesus is not only talking about some far-off place where we'll get rewarded if we're good enough, God is talking about right now through Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom. And so it's not so much that we're storing up. The question is, what do we value now? And how is that lived out in our lives? So where Jesus talks about the heart and where our heart is, so our treasures will be there. The heart is not an emotional place in Middle Eastern culture at that time. The heart was the decision-making place. So when it's like where our treasures are, or where our heart is, our treasure will be, it's like where we make our decisions, we will see what we value. Okay, so, and sometimes you can see that lived out in people's lives. That you could say, oh, I see, you know, that they value status, they value their children, they value comfort. You can say, okay, you can see the highest values that people have by the decisions they make. And so as Jesus was talking to these first hearers, he was saying, consider what you value, where you make your decisions. And then he goes on to talk about the eye of the lamp and that it shouldn't be dark, it should be light. We understand the eye, it functions as that which takes in light. And so we might, we use some metaphors like, I saw the light, right? Okay, and we know that means understanding. But symbolically, in Middle Eastern times, it was somewhat the opposite, is that it wasn't that light came in the eye, but the nature of a person could be seen through the eye. In other words, light, darkness would come out. Maybe we might say today, oh, I saw fire in her eyes. Okay, and that might be more what it means. And so what Jesus was saying is when you see someone, the light shows a clarity within them. And if you see someone and there's not a clarity, then what there is darkness. So he just kind of uses that as a metaphor. And what he's calling people to is a clarity of purpose in what we value and how that matches with how we act. And so the final little piece in this group of sayings that Jesus has to do with following what master are you going to follow? You know, because you can't follow two. You're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. Well, it isn't that literal. It isn't an absolute rejection, hate, and then love the other. What they mean in this case is that you can't follow two masters, because if you're choosing one, you're leaving one by the wayside. If you're choosing one, you're not choosing in this other place. And so he calls people to be very careful what they choose. He's already offered at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount some ideas of what to choose. To be blessed is to be poor in spirit, to be humble, to be pure in heart, to be merciful, to be a peacemaker, to mourn with those who mourn. These are the values that lift us and move us in the kingdom of God. Now, this week has been a hectic week for me. And people have come up to me, even this morning, and have asked, tell me the story. And I know the story they want. They don't have to ask me anymore, because they want to know the story of how one pastor proposes to another. And I have to tell you, yeah, I got a story. But when people ask me that question, what I really want to talk about is why I said yes. And for those of you who've had that question before, you might know what I'm talking about, that you want to say why you said yes. It has me thinking today in light of this scripture about our faith and how we live it in God's reign. If someone came to us and asked us in regards to our faith, what's your story? And we might be able to tell them about how we were raised in the church, how we had a dear friend who told us about Christ, and we looked at their lives and we said, we want that. We might have a story of conversion that is powerful. But I'm wondering if at the heart of it, we might instead want to tell people why we say yes. Why we say yes every day to this faith. Because if we can answer that question clearly and solidly, then we know what we value. And Christ simply asks us to put that stuff first and to walk out of here and to walk through life saying yes and living this kingdom life. It brings meaning. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? God, we come before you this morning. We think about what it means to live a life of meaning. And God, we reflect on our lives and we look at the things that we value. God, we ask this morning that the power of your Spirit would move us, transform us, and bring to light and give us clarity to reveal to us what it is that you value. And we ask that our eyes, our senses, our minds, our hearts would be opened, that as we look around us, within our friends and families, within our community, within the world abroad, that our hearts would have a heart of compassion for love and justice and kindness, and that you would use us to be your servants so that we could bring your kingdom here to this earth. And so we take a moment of silence, and we ask that your Spirit would speak to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that not just through your words and teachings, but mostly through your life and your actions, you have revealed to us what it means to have a life of meaning and what that life looks like. We are your disciples, and we want to pattern our lives, our thoughts, and our behaviors after you. And so we thank you for the example that you've set for us. We lift up these prayers as we pray the prayer that you taught your first disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.